Happy New Year and welcome to the first Virginia Athletics podcast of 2018. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest today has been tearing it up for the third-ranked UVA men's basketball team and that second-year point guard, Ty Jerome. Ty, thanks for making time for this. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
So the spring semester starts next week, which means you'll be back in class before you know it. You like this holiday break, don't you? Because you can just lock in on basketball.
Yeah, it's the best time of the year. I think I say that all the time. You know what I mean? No class, just basketball, hanging out with your teammates. It's amazing.
Early in the season, when your shots weren't falling regularly, you had to patiently field a lot of questions about your quote-unquote slump. Did you get tired of talking about your confidence level? Because you were kind of steadfast throughout in saying that it did not waver.
Yeah, it definitely never wavers. That's part of the game. You're going to have games where your shot doesn't fall, but if you come out and just be aggressive, it's going to fall eventually.
You had a foot injury in preseason that sidelined you for a while, and you missed some practice time. Did that affect your timing at all when you did get back on the court?
I'm not sure if that directly affected me, but it probably had a little bit of an impact. I try not to think about it as much as I could, but you know, being away from the game for three weeks straight, it's going to affect you, whether you think about it or not.
Is it difficult to back off and rest? Because I know your instinct is to get out there and play, and Ethan and others are telling you to not do anything.
Yeah.
How difficult is that?
Yeah, it was real difficult. It was terrible to sit out for 3 weeks, even though it was just preseason, just watching them practice every day, not being able to be a part of it was real challenging. And even now, sometimes in practice, they want to, you know, just relax on certain reps, and that's still challenging for me. So I just like to always be out there and always compete.
It's no secret you're a big-time gym rat. What about off the court? Are you one of those guys who watches a lot of – do you follow the college game closely? You follow the NBA? Are you like a bracketologist like Kyle is, you know, as the tournament approaches?
Up until I got here, I was like that. You know, college basketball, I used to watch every game I could in high school, and now that I'm a part of it, I still watch as much as I can, but I try to find a balance of focusing on us as much as possible and not worrying about other teams, but I still watch it for entertainment. I just enjoy watching basketball.
What about NBA? Were you a Knicks fan growing up, Nets fan?
No.
Your favorite team?
I never had a team growing up, but now I root for the Cavs.
Because of London or because you're a front runner?
A little bit London, a little bit.
You have always excelled at shooting and passing, but your work on defense this season has surprised some people. What's your evolution as a defender been like? You know, what's it like to come in here, Cole? I don't know what you played in high school defensively, but you come in here, the pack line defense, you got to learn that. The bar is obviously extremely high here for defense. What's that like?
It's definitely an adjustment when you first get here, no matter how talented you are on the defense side of the ball, no matter how athletic you are, because there's so many things going on. But Coach Bennett preaches, and the entire staff preaches every day, just be continuous, and that can cover up a lot of your mistakes. So I just go out there and just keep trying to be continuous every day. Never let never let failure, you know, really get to me, because people are going to beat you. You're going to make mistakes on defense, but you just keep trying to get better every play, every game, every practice, and eventually you just keep getting better.
People who follow the program know that that's one of Coach Bennett's kind of pet phrases, be continuous. In layman's terms, for people who don't know, what does that mean on the court, to be continuous?
Just never stop. So, you know, if your teammate gets beat, if you get beat, just try to make the next read. So a lot of times I think you'll see it where if a guard, you know, gets beat and you see, like, the big slides over to help you, you want to maybe slide down and help and take that pass away directly to the big. So just keep rotating, keep fighting through mistakes, basically.
You have great size for a point guard at 6'5". How much does that help at the defensive end, and I'm guessing you try to use that to your advantage?
Yeah, on defense, I think it helps me when I guard smaller guards. It's just I can give a little more room and try to contest shots with my length, and also allows me to guard multiple positions. Like against Syracuse this past game, I guarded everywhere from one through four. So it helps me to guard multiple positions, and it makes us, I think, allows us to be more versatile on defense.
You're from New Rochelle, New York, about 25 miles outside of New York City. Have you lived there your whole life?
So my dad actually lives in the city. My mom lives in New Rochelle, so I go back and forth. I went to high school in New Rochelle, so I spent most of my time there.
How much ball did you play in the city growing up? I mean, obviously there's the mystique of New York City basketball, New York City point guards. Are you a guy who played in the gyms and on the playgrounds in the city a lot?
Yeah, especially in the summer. After, you know, AAU really dies down and we stop traveling every weekend. I think it's like the end of the July for that month of August, and everyone always goes and plays in the park in the city. And
Do people play outside anymore still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more organized, I think, than it was back then, but people still play outside.
Have you played at Rucker Park?
I have.
What's that like?
Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. There are a lot of fun atmospheres in New York City, especially during the summertime and the end of the summer, where people just come out, pack the park, and it's a lot of fun.
Your AAU program, the Riverside Hawks, came down here and played at the Boo Williams tournament, right, April of 2015. I know you'd been down on recruiting visit here, but had you been to the state of Virginia much before you ended up enrolling here?
No. No, I haven't.
What was that Boo tournament like? Do you remember it?
I do. It was actually with PSA Cardinals. That was my first tournament with them, because that was my first year playing UIBL. And it was fun. It was a great tournament. I think Coach Wilford and Coach Bennett got to come down and watch. It was fun playing in front of them. And I think we went 3-1, if I can remember right. But that was definitely a fun team. It was a good start to the year for us.
Who was your lead recruiter from here? Was it Coach Bennett himself, or did one of the assistants?
It was Coach Bennett himself, and then Coach Sanchez too.
In high school, your senior season ended prematurely when you had to have surgery on both hips. That wasn't the storybook ending to your high school career that you would have wanted. Did you learn anything from that experience, as frustrating as it was?
Wow. It was definitely the most frustrating thing I've been through to date.
Because you were having a big year, too, weren't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was playing well. We were playing well as a team. And that year, the league was kind of open, and I was hoping to, like you said, have a storybook ending. But seven games in, and then just watching my team every day after school, not being able to play basketball, it kind of almost took the fun out of senior year for me. But I'm just happy I was able to fix that problem before I got to college, and now it helps me move a lot better.
You got here in June of, 2016. Mm-hmm. At that time, you're still rehabbing. You're recovering. There's a trip to Spain 2 months later. I know at the time you were considered questionable for that. Was that you ended up playing in, you know, throughout the tour. Was that a big target for you, like, to get back and play in that?
Yeah, when I first had the surgery, we broke it down, and I kept asking the doctors, how long will it be? Because, you know, in August we go to Spain, and I really wanted to be able to play in that. There was a lot going through my mind at that point. I didn't really want a red shirt because I was missing two straight years.
That was kind of an option, too.
Missing two straight years of basketball. So I was just doing everything I can to get healthy. And I think that really motivated me to really be diligent with my rehab.
You committed to Virginia in September of your junior year. And at that time, you didn't have a ton of high major offers. Were there any doubts in your mind about whether you could, you know, not only play at this level, but have an impact like you've had?
No. Something I've always dreamed of, and I'm always confident that if the right coach gave me a good chance, I'd be able to make an impact. And Coach Bennett took a chance on me before any other high major coach did, and he still takes a chance on me every day, really. And I appreciate that, and it just makes me really want to work hard for him, for the staff, and for everyone else.
You graduated from Iona Prep in New Rochelle, 4-year letterman there. What was it like going to school there?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. It was a great 4 years of high school. I'm sure it could have been a lot better if I was able to play my senior year. But I was surrounded by a bunch of great friends, a lot of good teachers, and it was a lot of fun.
So I checked Wikipedia about Iona Prep, and you're not yet listed on the famous alumni, but I'm sure one day you will. But Don McLean, who wrote the song American Pie and sang that, he's an Iona Prep graduate. John Mara, co-owner of the New York Football Giants, yeah. And among others, Pete Gaudette, who was a longtime assistant for Coach K.
Oh, wow.
At Duke.
That's right. So I knew the Giants won I knew the Coach K one, but you were just reminding me of it, and I didn't know that.
Don McLean.
I didn't know
American
Don McLean.
Pie.
No.
Your teammates there included Matt Ryan, who began his college career at Notre Dame and is now at Vanderbilt. He's sitting out the year after transferring, I think. Did you see him at that Thanksgiving weekend tournament up in Brooklyn?
I didn't. No, he wasn't there. He was he's redshirting, so like you said, so he's probably spending time with his family. But I'm in touch with him every once in a while. So he said he's really enjoying Nashville, like the city itself.
Yeah.
So he's saying he's having a good time and he's excited to play.
The ACC tournament is back at Barclays Center this year in Brooklyn. I think people asked you this last year before the tournament. Did you ever play there or see any Nets games there when you were growing up?
I played in the Garden a few times, and I'm not sure if I played there actually, but I went to one of the first college games ever. I think Kentucky played Maryland. I went to that game at the Barclays, and it was a really fun atmosphere.
What kind of like cheering section did you have at the ACC tournament last year, and will it be the same or more this year?
I had a lot of family. It would probably be the same, maybe more. But I love going back to the city to play because, you know, in between games, after the game, before the game, I get to see my family. So that's important.
Not everyone is privy to seeing UVA practices, but when you see them, you notice immediately that you and Isaiah talk the most trash of anyone on the team. Has that always been kind of a staple of your on-court personality?
I'm not a big trash talker. Like, I don't really talk a lot in games. I'm just very competitive. So, you know, Isaiah and during the preseason, we're usually on opposite teams.
Right.
And we compete to see who can get more wins. And everyone knows how much of a competitor he is. He's probably the best teammate I've ever played with just because of how continuous and competitive he is. But so I like to go at him and just rise to the occasion in practice. So we kind of go at it in the preseason, and that's always really fun.
There was an article in theathletic.com yesterday that you may have seen that said basically Zay is the most valuable player in the country, you know, most underrated and contributes in more ways. What's it been like? I'm guessing you get a greater appreciation for what he does when you're around him every day and you see him in practice every day and see all the little different things he does.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think that's 100% true. I think it's not an exaggeration. You know, defensively, I'd be surprised there's a better defensive player in the country just all around. His ability to be in the gap, block shots, rebound, he does everything. And he's a little bit undersized, too. And it makes it even more impressive to see what he does every day in practice and in the game. He really does everything. And offensively, I think he's really underappreciated, too.
Yeah, I'm always struck when I see, like, him and standing next to DeAndre because, like, DeAndre's taller.
Yeah, DeAndre towers over him.
Yeah. Anybody who saw the video of your press conference with Kyle Guy after the Syracuse game knows that you guys have a great rapport. How much contact had you had with each other before you both got here in 2016? I know he was a social media, you know, demon before then.
Yeah, he was. We texted a good amount, and I think he came to my house because we played an All-Star game together up in New Jersey. So he spent the weekend at my house. Then we were here for a Top 100 camp together. So we hung out a few times, and we were in touch a lot over the phone. So we were just always talking about the excitement of coming here and playing together. And you know, we didn't get to play as much together last year, but now we're finally, you know, really on the court together for the majority of the game, and it's basically everything we've been talking about since high school.
A shooter like that can make you look pretty good as a playmaker, can he?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You've been asked a lot recently about DeAndre's emergence. I know what he's doing now in games is nothing you hadn't seen from him in practice, but what has it meant for the team for him now to be kind of taking it from the practice court to the main?
It's huge. I think everyone knew it was just a matter of time before he kind of exploded and got out of his shell, I think. He just looks comfortable now, and I'm happy for him. And we needed it. We really needed it, especially coming down this stretch because the games only get tougher. So we're going to need his impact every game, defensively, offensively. He's just another scorer for us, and he's super versatile on defense as well.
The fourth member of your recruiting class is Jay Huff, who's kind of still waiting his turn. He's had some moments, but he doesn't play as much as the other three. I know you have encouraged DeAndre and urged him to be more aggressive. Do you talk to Jay and counsel patience and talk to him too?
I think everyone talks to Jay because we know how special he can be and how important he is for this team in the future. And even this year, if he gets it's just about opportunity, really, and he needs to just keep fighting every day in practice because really, Coach Bennett, he hasn't played favorites. He just really plays whoever he thinks is he can trust the most. So I think at this time he's, you know, kind of waiting behind Jack and Isaiah and Mamadi. So it's no knock on Jay. It's just I think the guys ahead of him are have really earned Coach Bennett's trust. But that's not to say that Jay won't be maybe the best out of everyone in the recruiting class in the future. Right. So we're definitely going to need him. It could be any time now, to be honest.
You backed up London Parentes last season and also played next to him a fair amount. What did you learn from him?
Well, London, as great of a leader he was, he didn't do as much vocally as a lot of other people do. He was kind of just lead by example and every day. So I watched him a lot on and off the court, when he chose to shoot, when he chose to pass. I think we're definitely different players.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure I play my game, and I'm not the next London at all. But a lot of people, just to put that to rest, kinda.
Yeah.
But I learned a lot from him. His demeanor on the court, his poise. When games got tough, he was always relaxed. Just made the right play, and it was an honor. It was really great to play next to him when I got a chance to.
Your head coach was a pretty fair point guard himself back in the day. Everybody on the team learns from Coach Bennett, but what about the point guard aspect of it with him?
Just the way he sees the game and his I think he played back in the day, and a lot of people say I have an old school game, so I really take a lot from him, just how about, not turning the ball over, shooting your shots, being confident, getting to the right spots on the court. There's a lot of things he teaches and he just says every day that you kind of just pick up naturally, and playing for him is really great. It's been a great learning experience so far, and I'm sure there'll only be more.
I saw some videos in the off season about your training regimen kind of away from JPJ. I know there's work you do with Coach Curtis and with the coaches. You're allowed a certain amount of time, but what else do you do and who have you worked with?
A skills trainer named Damon Altizer. Devin and I and DeAndre sometimes, we go to him either at STAB or at different gyms, and we just work out. Just get extra work in, compete a little bit, play a little bit one-on-one, a lot of skill work, and get a lot of extra shots up.
How much has that helped your game?
It's helped a lot. I mean, anytime you get extra shots up, and he's also one of those skills trainers who makes a lot of game reps. Like, we make game moves. He's a UVA alum himself, so he watches us closely. We break down film together sometimes. So every workout we do is always simulating games.
The polls don't really matter ultimately. It this stuff works itself out. But when Virginia was not ranked in the preseason, did you pay that any mind and say, we're being under?
It's tough.
Underrated, and does it mean anything to be number three right now?
It's tough because we never really try to pay any attention to the media. To be honest, they always get it wrong every year. You know what I mean? So it's. I don't think college basketball is very unpredictable,
right?
For starters, and two, they have their opinions, but the game always plays itself out. So I think, we felt definitely disrespected in the beginning of the year, and we definitely had a chip on our shoulder, but we still have so much left to do. Like you said, the polls don't mean much right now, but we definitely earned this spot in the polls. And Coach Brandon said the other day, what you earn, you fight not to give back. So we don't want to give anything back right now. So we still have that chip on our shoulder.
Well, great. Well, Ty, thanks again for popping over from JPJ. Best luck Sunday night against NC State and the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
For UVA Athletics, the only event in town this weekend is the men's basketball game at JPJ on Sunday evening. For information about that game and much more, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.